o'clock hour of Cairo Nights. Happy Thursday. Happy Friday Eve. However you want to say it, it's G and Mace. Means the world to guys listening to the show. Feel free to text us anytime you want to at 989-73. Well, Mace, every Thursday at 9 o'clock, we bring in one of our good friends.
Yes, sir.
He's from the Tom and Curly Show. You can listen to that show Monday through Friday from 9 to 12. Tom Tangney. Hey, Tom.
Hey, you guys. How are you?
Good.
Good.
All right.
We got a lot of movies to discuss. We got the current movie that's going to be coming out.
That's right.
We got two movies that both Mace saw one, I saw the other.
Perfect.
But before we get to the movies.
What?
Chris Peterson. Chris Peterson.
Okay, listen,
University of Washington.
Team. Okay. I'm much more interested in your take because I think of you as kind of like a local outsider. Okay. You are not on the inside. Your spectacular son chose to take his talents elsewhere. And so I'm interested in your take on it. Here's what I was shocked. In fact, I don't know how. Yeah, I don't know if our listeners probably don't know who Kyle is, but Kyle is the programmer over on ESPN. And on Monday or was it Monday or Tuesday? He comes out. He runs up to me and he says, "Hey, Tom, did you hear? Chris Peterson just resigned." Now, Kyle is a Cougar. And right. I said, oh, I'm not going to fall for that stunt because there's been a lot of talk about whether Mike Leach is going. I said, I don't believe you. So he dragged me in to the sports den and had me talk to Howdy. Boy, Howdy, because he's a huge Husky fan, told me it was the truth. So I was completely caught off guard. Now, as soon as I heard that Jimmy Lake was named, I relaxed. Because I think Jimmy Lake, at least by reputation, and I don't know like you know, but by reputation, Jimmy Lake, the new coach, is fantastic. He's the greatest recruiter and all this. And so I suddenly, everything in my mind it made sense because I couldn't understand why a guy with Jimmy Lake's, potential, supposedly, you could correct me if I'm wrong, supposedly he was recruited to Alabama to be the defensive coordinator. I don't know if that's true or not, but that's something that the 710 Sports Den was telling me. Why would a guy give up a chance to go to Alabama, the premier football program, or one of the premier football programs, perhaps after Ohio State? why would he stay? Ah, I bet he had some kind of arrangement with Peterson. Peterson might not have said, this year is it, but he might have said, listen, you stick around here. I'm not gonna be here for another 10 years. Mm-hmm. You'll be the guy.
For Chris Peterson to step aside for the greater good for the University of Washington, I think that takes a real man. Another thing that the University of Washington and Chris Peterson did that I really respect is the first of many, Brother Mace, of the signing periods are coming up. December 18th is the first signing period in which high school recruits can sign, right? So there's going to be one in December and one in late January, right?
Mm-hmm.
So what's happened is instead of the University of Washington and Chris Peterson just waiting until both signing periods and then pulling the rug out, they said, no, we're going to be transparent. We're going to be honest, and we're going to say, hey, you know what? Even though this could risk losing recruits, ladies and gentlemen, Chris Peterson is stepping down. A lot of respect for that.
That's cool. Now, you raised your eyebrow when I was waxing poetic about our defensive coordinator and new head coach. Are you more skeptical of him than...
No, that was me looking at Mace. that was me looking at Mace proving my point when people talk about Jimmy Lake.
Okay.
And you fell right into it.
Your point is that we overvalue him?
No. My point is that when people talk about Jimmy Lake, the first thing they say is he's a great recruiter.
Yeah. And is that not true?
Well, he's a great recruiter, but he's a great coach. Like, nobody's ever seen him recruit, but we see him coach.
I see. Okay. Yeah, well, we have seen him coach, and that's, I mean, he's practically been the assistant coach.
So I had to teach Mace yesterday.
Oh, you mean to say, to make that like that's the first, his best quality?
Yes.
Most people say.
It's like when they talk about black quarterbacks, or at least, it's getting better.
Okay.
Oh, he's athletic, you know.
Or the position coach, the black position coach in pro football. Yeah. Oh, he's a great motivator.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
All right, let's get to some movies.
Yes.
Okay.
How about the current one is getting ready to come out?
Okay, so this is an Amazon release. So if you want to hold your horses, it's going to get released like in about 3 or 4 weeks from now. But it is opening on Friday, and that's why I'm reviewing it. It's called The Aeronauts. It stars the couple that starred in The Theory of Everything, the Stephen Hawking story, Eddie Redmayne and Felicity Jones. So it has kind of a high profile cast, and it's set in the 1860s, 1862 actually,
okay.
When they used hot air balloons to they went for altitude records, but mostly they were meteorology was just like it's sort of in its infancy as a science, and they were going up and taking all sorts of measurements because the idea was at some point we're going to be able to forecast weather. Now, that was considered in Victorian times quite radical a notion. Oh, right, you can't predict something like that. And
sure.
So this is about an actual 1862 on September 5th, this balloon flight that this scientist, James Glacier, made to go up. And he ended up setting the altitude record. The French had, it was something like they were at 33,000 feet. I mean, remember, this is 3,000.
In a balloon?
Good
God.
This high up in the air. And the French had just stolen the record. These guys are English. They wanted to set this new record. And this guy had all these theories about, how he could use the information to better forecast weather. So that's the story. Now, here's what I like right off the bat. That is for movies, for Hollywood, even though it wasn't a Hollywood movie, it was a British movie, but the idea is that is relatively virgin territory for movies. You know, how many mob movies have they made? A million of them, you know? Mm-hmm. How many science fiction movies? How many of this? But they don't make movies like this. So bully for them for taking really fresh material. I like that. My problem is they took fresh material and made it stale. I am not a fan of this movie. And there are two issues I have with it. One is, even at the time I thought, wow, how are they going to make a 2-hour movie where almost everything happens within a little basket?
Mm.
You know, now there are harrowing things that happen, unbelievably harrowing things that happen with this balloon. It gets up so high that the balloon freezes and you have to kind of climb on the up to the outside. I mean, they are spectacular moments, but I really feel like there's just not enough material that they've devised for this script to justify that long a movie. It's like an hour and 45 minutes, I guess. That long a movie. There's not enough incidents, even though they try to go into the past. So his pilot happens to be a woman. She's the widow of a balloonist who died, but she still has this interest in ballooning, and so he takes her up. She's the one who pilots the thing, and he's the scientist taking all the records, and that's why you've got that couple dumb working, even though they're not a romantic couple. The amazing thing about this movie is she is spectacular. You try to think of 1862, how few women, I think there were only a couple of female balloonists ever, and how dismissed they were in society for being, you know, professional anything.
Right.
And what she has to do in this movie, I mean, she saves the day and saves the day and saves the day. And you go, oh, my God, who is this woman? Spectacular. Come out of the movie, and I thought, you know, it felt kind of canned. I don't believe the relationships were that, I mean, the dramatics was that, stirring. But I thought, but at least it tells, you know, a story. That's an interesting historic, if you think of it as biographically interesting. It turns out that woman, Amelia Wren, is a complete and utter fiction. That woman didn't exist.
What?
James Glacier went up in that balloon with a guy named Henry Coxwell.
What?
A real guy. They jettisoned him for a woman to make this point about here's an aspirational female who did all this daring do, and it's all made up.
Come on, man.
It's infuriating. Now, I have no problem. He says, I wanted to write a story about this time, but make it aspirational for little girls to grow up and think, I can do this kind of stuff too. That's fine. Then don't base it on an actual balloon event.
Yeah, right.
On a particular date with a real scientist.
Yeah. Right.
Just make it like a kid's fantasy where these, you know, a man and a woman work together and just make it like, oh, these are the kinds of issues if that ever happened. But to me, so not only to me does it feel like this kind of flat material and sort of stale, it also feels like a big phony ripoff to me.
That would be like the school systems teaching everyone that Christopher Columbus discovered America. You know what I mean? Like, nobody.
What a
would,
ridiculous yeah. notion!
Yeah. Nobody would do that.
Yes. So anyway, now there are some spectacular sets. There's nothing prettier, I think, than one of those hot air balloons. And when it's up that high and you look over the English landscape and all this, I mean, they are some spectacular.
The visuals are good.
The visuals are good.
Would
but
you do it?
Would I go up?
Yeah.
Hell no. I will never go up in those.
Say, hey.
No.
Wait, really?
Same.
Do you,
same.
Know, what I, do you know what I said after I saw the trailer?
Oh, yeah?
Hell no.
I ain't doing it.
I saw it reminded me of Gravity. Sandra Bullock movie, absolutely. Right? Which I'm not a big fan of heights.
Yeah.
I watched Sandra Gravity on my couch with all the lights on and like as much anti-anxiety medication I could scrounge up.
Yeah.
What are we talking about, like anxiety intensity levels?
Well, there are. Here's my problem. You know it's all CGI. You know they're not really up in the air. This is, and so once you know that, here's the thing. I decide it was more pretty than it was harrowing.
Mm.
You know, it's just like you don't really feel the risk. I mean, if you are literally seeing the kinds of things that she has to do in this movie, oh my God! But that's you know that didn't happen. So there's never that threat. It does. It is a little. You do look over the the side of the basket, and if you can imagine yourself in it, I think it's a little unnerving because I'm not good with heights either. But the problem is knowing everything is CGI. It feels like kind of a cheat. I think this one could have made a really good kids' movie.
Hey, Tom.
You know, just make it kind of a fantasy.
If our founding fathers, I know they were always referred to all the time when in conversations, like, well, this is our founding fathers.
Capital
Fs. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You think they were wrong about how they felt about women back then?
Well, that's a tricky question because we have to apply all sorts of different standards. No. Like everybody is going to be judged by different standards now. Like I won't be surprised if 100 years from now or 200 years from now, the fact that we were eating meat is going to look absolutely barbaric.
Right.
And we're going to judge everyone from the future is going to judge us as being, you know, Neanderthals. That's a cheap shot.
I actually agree with you on that.
Okay.
You're right.
So
you're
I do think that we have to judge people at the time with the mores of the time. Yep. However, that's not to say that we can't look back and be harsh and critical of them back then for things that they were, their blind spots. I think we all have blind spots.
Mm.
So where do you want me to go with the question? Like,
you just really made me feel like crap just now.
He was trying to pin you down.
I was trying to pin you down, and you like turn it around, and you got me in a chokehold right now. because you're right. In 50 to 100 years, this exactly is going to be the conversation. You're like, they did what?
Exactly. We don't know what it's going to be.
I can't believe how barbaric they were. Bro, this conversation before. So, Tom, I'm glad you brought it up.
Okay.
And it has to. Hear me out.
Mm-hmm.
Hear me out. In a 50 to 100 years, I can get hypothetically.
Yeah.
In 50 to 100 years, I'm thinking people are going to look back and be like, the reason why there was so much infidelity is because you guys are trying to be with one person.
Mm, yeah.
It was forcing you guys to lie.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, I know that sounds crazy.
Yeah.
I know you guys think I'm nuts. And by the way, I do believe in monogamy today, 100%.
Sure.
I'm with you. I'm saying, I'm thinking in the future, hence the reason why our divorce rate is so high.
Yeah.
Our divorce rate is 50-something%, everybody.
And it came, I think monogamy comes from survival, right? Where you needed two people to do all the work to make sure that the next generation survived. But we're getting to a place now where we have technology and modern society and all that one person can kind of do it fine themselves.
Yeah.
And so that sort of takes the idea of a relationship from being this survival thing
there you go.
Into a pleasurable human.
But wait a minute. So I want to ask you a historical question. I don't know the answer, so you can't be wrong, at least not from my point of view.
Okay.
Do you think there's more infidelity today than 100 years ago?
No. Absolutely.
No.
No. No.
I do not think so.
No way.
Wait. Let me tell you why I say yes.
Okay.
Because how many years ago did you say?
I said 100 years ago.
100 years ago, it was just the man.
No. That's all you know.
No. What do you mean?
Wait.
We just got to finish talking about how women weren't allowed to do anything.
Right.
It was not the woman that was doing anything years ago.
What do you think the women were doing while the men were out?
Because now women are going to work.
Uh-huh.
Before, the women, they didn't go to work, right? Yeah. They were at home. They weren't allowed to work. They weren't allowed. I mean, we don't really talk about the pay. What do you got, Mace? You got something on your mind?
I just don't think that. I think while the men were out doing their things, the women were also doing things.
No!
And women are better at keeping secrets than men.
That ain't no lie.
Men go around bragging about stuff. Women are smarter than that.
Nah, man. But hold on. The woman would have brought shame to her family for doing that.
Right.
Just, or even
we're as higher risk.
Whereas the man. But that was like love. A sense. That was like a sense of pride.
Yeah right.
All right. I love this. I have no idea. Cairo Knights is as loose and goosey as it gets.
Oh, baby. You better believe
talking
it.
About Aeronauts, a Victorian balloon movie, and we're talking about the rates of infidelity in this through the centuries.
Hey, Tom. I'm right. not gonna lie to you. Cairo Knights lately, it's been off the rails.
Is that yeah. right?
Oh, no, entirely.
It's,
I love
it's
it.
Entirely off the
rails.
The
9 o'clock hour is devoted to this very type of thing.
Perfect.
Well, Tom, thanks for joining us.
Is that it? That's great. Hey, we can still talk about your movies next time.
Yeah, perfect.
Next time.
Every week.
That's Tom great. Tangney, everybody. He is the better half of Tom and Curly. You can hear that show Monday through Friday right here on Cairo Radio from 9 to 12 every single day. Coming up next, you know Stacey Joe likes to join us. Cairo Knights, G and Mace. What's up, y'all? It's G and Mace. Happy Thursday. Happy Friday Eve. Y'all know how Mace likes to get.
Yes, sir.
It's G and Mace right here. Coming up next, we do What's On Your Mind. But before that, we got our good buddy, Stacey Joe, over from the sports side of things. She comes over and talks sports, kind of. I mean, we talk about all kinds of things.
Hey, sports, etc.
Hey, Stacey Joe.
Hello.
What up?
Hey, so you were at the Seahawks facility today. Can you give us just a little bit of Seahawks stuff that we need to know?
Yeah, so I was there earlier today. Usually by this time of the week, I feel like the big thing we talk about are injury updates, but the team is pretty healthy right now. You're watching out for Ziggy Ansah. Michael Kendricks was also a non-participant, but with the weird week that they had, they mostly just had walkthroughs. So there's not really as much of news there, but I think the big interesting point that we were talking about on our show earlier today was where the Seahawks and Rams are before the season started. Like, if you were to guess, like, okay, which team's going to win the NFC West, what team would you have said?
Not the Seahawks.
I would have said the Rams.
1,000%. Me too. And so when the Seahawks beat the Rams earlier this year, the Rams at that point were, I think the win, like, tied the two teams or something like that. It was something to where it was a really big deal for the Seahawks to win. It was something they'd been trying to do for what felt like forever. They didn't manage to do it last year, even though they came close. And now the two teams are just in totally different directions. And it is so weird. So I don't think anyone's looking past this game and thinking it'll be easy. These two teams have always played each other close. But it's just interesting to think of how surprising this Seahawks season has been.
Shocking. And I don't... At no point in this season have I felt comfortable. And with a record like this, that's crazy. But every game has been insane.
Let me go around a horn on something.
Yeah.
I think you just touched on something. And by the way, it's Cairo Knights. You got to tell the truth.
Okay.
You said during this whole time you haven't been comfortable. Are you comfortable now?
No.
Neither am I.
No.
It's so weird.
Isn't that weird?
Stacey Joe, you?
Why?
You?
No, and it's weird because the Seahawks are one of two teams. So there are two teams in week 14. The Saints are the only team in the entire NFL that is guaranteed its spot in the playoff. It's clinched a spot, not seeding, just a spot.
Okay.
The Seahawks and the New England Patriots are the only two teams this week that can do the same. I mean, other teams can punch their spot, but they need some other stuff to happen. The Seahawks and the Patriots are the only two teams that can clinch a playoff spot with only a win. They don't need anyone else to do anything.
Wow.
They very much, as people like to say, control their own destiny. And yet still, it's so weird. Although, I wouldn't be surprised if a similar conversation is happening in New England because that defense has been phenomenal. But the offense that's normally dominated the rest of the league is suddenly like middle of the road. So this whole year in the NFL is just such a weird story. And the Seahawks have been playing it so close. I think they're beating opponents by an average of like 3 points per game. And it's just, it's weird to look at some of the other teams like Baltimore being up there, San Francisco, and seeing the performances they've had versus Seattle. But you have to still give Seattle credit, right? It's like, yeah, win's a win, but there are different kinds of conversations that come up when you talk about Seattle. Still good ones, though, right? Like, what goes into a win? What are those intangible things that make you win a game? Those are fascinating conversations.
I'm so scared that, you know what? I'm not even going to put this on you guys. I'm so scared that I am turning into a New England Patriot type of fan. Let me explain.
Please.
Let me explain. The New England Patriots right now are, Stacey Joe, what are they, 9-3 or 10-2?
No, 10-2, right?
I think they're 10-2.
They're 10-2. Everybody is talking about how bad the Patriots are looking. Everybody is complaining like, oh my gosh, this could be the last year for Tom Brady. I mean, when people talk about the Patriots right now, Mace, they talk about them as if they are 10-2. What is their record?
Yeah, it's 10-2.
They're 10-2. My point to that is the reason why I feel like I'm turning into a New England Patriot type of fan, I feel the same way about the Seahawks. Mm-hmm. The Seahawks are 10-2, but yet I'm nervous every week.
Every week.
Yet the Seahawks are getting ready to play Sunday night against the Rams. Scared. They have to travel to Carolina Panthers. Scared. Mm. They have to play against the 49ers. Arizona Cardinals. Scared.
Now we do generally pretty well on TV, though, right? Like Monday night, Sunday night football.
Oh, primetime football?
Oh, you mean primetime? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they do really well in primetime, but it's weird. I mean, I totally agree with G, because I think a lot of people feel that way. And it's strange because the Seahawks and Patriots are the two have the most successful string of winning seasons. There's a big gap between them, but there's a big gap between the Patriots and everyone else. The Seahawks, though, outside of the Patriots, have the most successive winning seasons, consecutive winning seasons.
Eight in a row.
At eight.
Eight in a row.
And yet still, every year, we continue to be like,
and look at how we talk. I'm telling you guys.
We're like stressed out.
I'm telling you.
Yeah, exactly.
The way we talk about the Seahawks, we talk about the fact, we talk as if our chef cooked the wrong, did our eggs overdone too much. Right. You know what I mean?
Right.
Didn't have enough juice when I got to the table.
Yeah.
We have first world problems, and I'm a little nervous.
We really do. We're like, well, I don't know, the defense is only ranked whatever it is. Like, your offense is third overall offense. Like, that's pretty crazy. But, you know, maybe that's part of it, too, is we're used to seeing a Seahawks team that is dominated by its defensive performance. And this year, you don't have that. So even though you're number three in total offense, there's doubt.
It's like me.
It's wild.
I'm a great catch. I work. Uh-huh. I'm responsible. Uh-huh. I do everything I'm supposed to do. But I got a little belly. I got a little stomach.
That's right.
And so you want to talk about, like, yeah, he's all of those things, but he's got a stomach.
He loves dessert.
And you're like, look, you know, that's fine. It's fine.
But listen, but would you want it any other way? I mean, I would much rather have a team that puts me through the ringer stress-wise.
But we're ungrateful.
Than just have blowout after blowout.
We're ungrateful.
Well,
call it. We are.
And sometimes you can have a good thing and have it mean nothing. Like, Tampa Bay has one of the best run defenses. Do you want to be Tampa Bay?
No, of course not.
No.
No.
And that's the crazy part. I don't want to be anybody else.
Right.
Hey, Stacey Joe.
Yeah.
You got to go, buddy.
Okay, guys.
Hey, have a great Thursday night. Thank you so much for coming on. We'll talk to you tomorrow. Oh, tomorrow's Friday.
I know. Thank God. I'm so excited. Friday.
See you, buddy.
Bye.
That's Stacey Joe, everybody. You can listen to her 12 to 3 over there on 710 ESPN on Tom, Jake, and Stacey.
Yeah.
It's a pretty good show over there. But, you know, look, y'all know how it is. We're kind of possessive over Stacey Joe.
I know.
See, Stacey Joe was born on Cairo Nights.
That's right. She's our girl.
She's our girl. Hey, come up next. What's on your mind? Cairo Nights. G and Mace. What's up, everybody? It's Cairo Knights, G and Mace. Happy Thursday. Happy Friday Eve. Coast to Coast comes up next. But before then, you know how we do it. It's what's on your mind. 98973, you tell us, we tell you. And by the way, when this deal is done, if you didn't get a chance to hear the Richard Sherman interview that was on today earlier, then make sure you check out the podcast. However you listen to podcasts, KyleRadio.com, MyNorthwest.com. Again, however you listen to podcasts, check out Kyle Knights and DB. We'll have that thing right up right after the show. Right now, it's time for what's on your mind, guys. Who's going first?
I'll go first.
Go for it.
Today's my Friday.
Hey! Oh,
really? You off tomorrow?
I'm off tomorrow.
Where are you going?
I'm coming. Well, I'm going to Portland. Fun. I will be in tomorrow morning to do a little singing rehearsal with one Ursula Reutin in advance of our Tuesday performance at Town Hall, which will also be on Cairo Radio next Tuesday from 8 to 9 p.m. So tune in for that. Live radio play, sound effects and everything. It's super fun. But, yeah, my lady and I are going to Portland, going to rent a car, drive down, see a show, spend the weekend. Our buddy Nick is going to take the train, join us. He's got some family down there. So we're just going to kick it, have a chill weekend. So I haven't really spent a lot of time in Portland. I've been down there a couple times. Like, I've been to Powell's, and I've visited friends once or twice. But if anyone's got any suggestions, 9973, hit me up.
I have a suggestion, actually.
Sir.
Pollo Bravo. It's inside Pine Street Market, right in downtown, in the heart of downtown. It is fantastic, owned and ran by my sister and her husband.
Really?
Nice. It is the best chicken you will ever eat. I'm going to say that. And it's not fried chicken necessarily, so it's in a different category than fried chicken. But it is so good to get the potatoes bravos as well.
Done.
And they are fantastic.
Done.
There it is.
I'll have a report on Monday.
Casa Diablo? Go check that place out.
Come on.
Yeah, just look it up. Not right now, but look it up later. Casa Diablo. Go ahead, check that place out. Frank, you got any place you want to recommend?
There's a restaurant up in the hill that has a deli that does the best Reuben sandwiches and cakes and things, but I can't remember the name. It's like Ruby's or Ruth's or something. I'll have to go look it up. So before you go.
Sweet.
All right,
thanks, guys.
Yeah. Let's see. What's on my mind was, earlier today, we had Richard Sherman on the show, and hearing him talk about why he gives, how it makes him feel to give, talking about the community of Maple Valley, talking about and giving us a story about the time that he and his brother had a $20 bill and then went into McDonald's, and someone who didn't hardly have any money was counting change. They ended up giving a $20 to this person who didn't have any money. To hear him talk is just... It is just a reminder that it is more than football, and I am glad that some of these athletes choose not to stick to sports. DB?
Love it.
Today is also my Friday, actually, as a matter of fact.
What?
Yeah.
It's going to be G and me?
It's going to be a fun one tomorrow. I'll be listening. I'm actually going tomorrow to a play that my sister and her daughter are starring in. It's just a really small local production over in like Allen area on the Kitsap Peninsula. So that's going to be fun. But this weekend is actually my girlfriend and my's anniversary. Two years since our first date. And so I've got something real special planned. We are actually going up to Bellingham. I hope she does not hear because she does not know we are going up to Bellingham. I'm just going to do a really fun weekend just focused on us and remembering why we love each other so much.
Yeah. Oh, nice. DB.
He's making me look
bad. I don't know.
Frank Shires?
I don't know how I can follow any of that.
Oh, by the way, man.
Frank's not going to be here tomorrow.
Yeah. No, I'll be here. She can only hope.
Jeez. All right.
You know, I don't know if you guys, has Amazon ever canceled an order on you? I actually got an email this morning. I was doing some Christmas cyber shopping early in the week, and I got an email this morning that said, this order has been canceled. And they had some technical reason why. It had nothing to do with me, or apparently it was probably the company they were doing business with. So I went back. Here's the bright side of the story, right? So I go back to Amazon because I still want the thing for my wife, and they offer up a deal out of nowhere that's like $50 less than it would have been if I'd bought it again. Well, it was like amazing.
Hey Frank, did you take the deal?
Hell yes. What? Wouldn't you?
Yeah, that's why.
I mean, I would. That's why, I love that.
That's why Amazon is Amazon.
Yeah, well, that's 100%.
So, bright side to a kind of strange thing.
Right? All right. Time to go. Brother Mace, DB, Frank Shires. I'm G. Scott. Means words to listen to the show. Appreciate you for listening. Love you for that. Be good.